Glen FM presents the Glenmiddon Chronicles.
Calmac has arranged for the Glenmiddon to take a group of Burns aficionados on an evening cruise to celebrate the birthday of the revered poet. Unfortunately, the Burns they are celebrating happens to be the last in a long line of descendants called Shoggy Aloysius Burns from Ardrossan. He is unable to be there, but Sandy Meeklejohn, the president of the society, has arrived to entertain the passengers.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I, as captain of the MV Glenmiddon, welcome you to this evening of Burns celebrations. I know you're all keen to get the evening started, so without any further ado, I would ask our catering supervisor, Miss Margaret McClarty, to pipe in the haggis. Scotty, what on earth has Maggie got there? Surely those aren't bagpipes.
No, it's Boris, the ship's cat, wearing a wee tartan shawl. Every time she squeezes him, he comes out with a noise.
Oh, thank you for your applause. I will now ask Crawford to place the haggis on the table in front of the captain for the address.
Doomed, I tell ye.
I always believe that the address should be given by someone special. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to call upon my right-hand man, the man who knows me inside and out. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present my big dick?
But, Captain, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
It's okay, Dick. All you have to do is address the haggis.
Address the haggis?
That's right. Address the haggis.
Here you are, then.
What's this?
I've addressed the haggis to my mother in Glenbogle. Do you think it'll arrive safely?
Forget it. Let's cut to the chase, literally, and let me stab this steaming monster so everyone can get the share. Crawford, the ski and do, please.
What?
The ski and do.
Ski and who?
Do, the knife.
Och, I ken what a ski and do is. I'm no daft, but I didn't hear you.
Scotty?
No.
Maggie?
No, I don't have one either. But would this Swiss Army knife that I keep in my stocking top in case I get attacked be of any use?
Thanks, Maggie. It's a bit rusty, but beggars can't be choosers. Oh well, here goes. Fear for your honest sunsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race.
Oh dear, I think I must have sewn that up a wee bit too tight.
After the passengers had scraped their portions of Maggie's faux haggis off the floor and had their plates filled with chips and mashed baked beans in place of the neeps and tatties, a toast was raised to this evening's special guest, Sandy Meeklejohn from the Ardrossan Society for Burns Aficionados.
Good evening, Burns fans, and welcome. This celebration is in honour of Shoggy Aloysius Burns, the last known descendant of the great poet himself. Born on the 25th of January 1986 in Ardrossan, Shoggy was the only child of a single mum, Hermione. As you can imagine, he had a very deprived childhood, with the two of them crammed into a four-bedroomed council house, with only Swedish furniture, fully fitted kitchen, and a 38-inch widescreen television. His mother knew there was something different about her son from a very early age. He used to compose poetry and write it on the nursery school walls, but he got expelled thanks to the constant beating and bullying.
At least there's some justice in the world. I hate to hear of children being bullied.
Oh no, dear lady, it wasn't him being bullied. He was bullying and beating up the teachers. Anyway, he was accepted into secondary school, and it was here that his writing took a different slant. His mother had been contacted by the Department of Work and Pensions, saying that her excuse for not working was wearing thin. She had said she had to stay at home and breastfeed young Shuggy, but as they pointed out, he was now 14 years old. It was then that the words started flowing out of the young Shuggy's mouth, and by the time he was 18, he had left the Young as Offenders Institute and published his first book of poetry, Shuggy, Bard of Ardrossan.
Actually, could I just intervene one minute? I have a copy of that book, which you very kindly gave me earlier on. Is that not a typing error on the front page? Shouldn't Bard be spelt B-A-R-D, not B-A-R-R-E-D?
Oh no, it's Bard, as in not allowed near the place. He's barred from most of Ardrossan. Anyways, I will start by asking Stewie here. his first cousin on his mother's sister-in-law's uncle's brother's side, to recite one of Shuggy's poems, and then we can have a question and answer session. This is one of the loveliest odes and is dedicated to the lassies of our drossin'. Stewie?
If you gae up to Summerfields, you'll there see Bonnie Peg. She sits behind the checkout, cos she's only got one leg. There's Shona Fair with long red hair. She serves behind the deli. She's always tasting all the food. You can tell that through her belly. Katie with the big fat bum is what you'd call a weirdie. With all that hair upon her face, she's kent as Katie Beardie. And Maggie Fine, for whom I pine, she's on the fruit and veg. And when I ask her for a bit, she gives me quite a wedge. Our drossin' lassies are the best, of that there is nae quarrel. And every time I see them there, my thoughts, they are immoral.
Thank you for that stunning masterpiece. Now, is there anyone would like to ask Sandy Meiklejohn a question?
I would. Who on earth did you get involved with this Shuggy?
I've always been interested in young people, and I had an idea one night when I was round visiting his mother. I used to visit her twice a week to have my truss adjusted, and on this particular visit, I had to stop off at the local public toilets. It was there I saw his latest poem. I copied it down on some toilet paper and carried it about with me at all times, just in case I should be called upon to spout forth. It was then I suggested to Hermione that she should maybe share him with the rest of the world, as this was a talent like no other. Stewie, read the poem.
Can I have the bog paper then?
Oh, I'm sorry, of course. Here you are.
A fun kiss and then I farted. The smell so rank that our lips parted. She held her snack until she fainted. I think her love may now be tainted. I slapped her face to bring her roon. She slapped me back and left the room. I really ken it's her a fancy. My big skanky minging Nancy.
Well, what can I say? Any other questions?
Yes. I don't ever remember seeing a photo of this young man. Are you sure he exists?
He doesn't really like publicity. He spends most evenings at home with his mother.
Oh, a loving son.
Not really, you see. It has to do with the electronic tag round his ankle. It won't let him more than 18 feet away from his front door. Well, I have copies of his book here for sale if anyone is interested, and in his absence, I'd be more than happy to put his X in it as a dedication.
I'm sure you'd all like to show your appreciation for Sandy Meiklejohn's insight into this young bard. Well, I'll call upon the Eriskay Noise now to give us some music. Unfortunately, they don't know any Burns stuff, so they'll give you what they know.
Captain, shall I bring out my dumplings for everyone to have a go on?
I think that may be an idea, Maggie. Any entertainment would be better than that noise.
As the evening draws in, the passengers are all lining up on deck to get off the ferry as soon as possible. Sandy Meiklejohn has sold one copy of Shuggy's book to Big Dick, who thinks it's a diary for 2009. As soon as they arrive back in Ardrossan, the day will come to a close and they can put all this behind them and continue on their travels. But where are they off to next? What is all that thick fog coming in over the sea? Is it an omen? We'll have to tune in next week, same time, same channel, for more revelations from the Glen Midden Chronicles.
You have been listening to the Glen Midden Chronicles, brought to you by Cullen FM. Voices supplied in no particular order by John Wilson, Nick Wakeham, Shona Campbell and John Grundy. The series was devised by John Grundy and written by Nick Wakeham. This has been an Old Mission House production.